crazy, awesome love is exactly what we're going to look at today. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. And there are some things we want to ponder about this amazing, amazing love that the Lord has given to us. Now, as you're turning there, we've been going through the book of 1 John, and 1 John really is a book of that's written that you might know that you have eternal life. That's the whole purpose of this. And there was some false teaching that was in the church, and so they were writing to deal with it. They were writing make sure that people understood, and there were some tests that were given. And last week, Pastor Jason finished up chapter 2, and when he did that, he talked about basically you have three choices. It's a marathon of faith, but there are three choices that you're going to have to make. You can choose to quit. And he looked at the passage where it says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. Because if they were of us, they would have continued with us. And then he said, you have the choice if you can change the rules, and that one doesn't work. There were those that denied the truth. And then the third choice would be that we would abide, that we would stay the course. And so in our time together in this passage that we're going to look at, we're going to be encouraged to stay the course. We're going to be encouraged to abide, and we're going to see really what that means for us. So let me invite you to stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Father, I come before You, and I pray that You would so work in our lives that we would see You for who You are, that we would see Your mighty love, and that we would just surrender all afresh and have our hope in You and know what You have in store for us. So, Lord, we're not here to play games. We're here to hear from You. And so guide my words and work in our hearts for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to get started in this. And there's some things that we want to see, and there's some implications that are, I think, critical for us. The first thing is simply this. Do you see the Father's love? The text says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. And that word, see, is the concept of ponder. It is the idea of study. It is really to gaze, to really look at it. To really look at it. Now, my wife, for 31 years almost, has tried to culture me. And it has failed miserably. She has taken me to a number of art museums. And we will go to these museums, and there'll be people sitting and looking at art for hours. You know what I'm talking about? I can go through the largest art gallery in 45 minutes. Because it's like, oh, that's nice. Yep, that's a picture of a bunch of guys wrestling. What are they doing over there? And yet there will be people who will look, and they will study, and they will ponder, and they will spend hours, and I'm like, I feel like walking in front of them, you know, hey, are you there? I mean, what are you looking at? It's a picture. But they got something here. And in reality, the text here is saying, ponder the Father's love. We don't do that enough. We do need to slow down, and you need to be amazed at how much the Father loves you. And that is, it really is mind-boggling when we sit there, we study it, we ponder it, we look at it. Because what is God's love? Well, let me give you some Bible here. Romans 5:8, but God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You ponder that one for a little while. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't just sinners. We were rebellious against an infinitely holy God. And some of us, if we're really honest, here's the amazing thing about church world. Some of you walk in here and you kind of think you're good. Can I just be honest? You're not good. I tell you that all the time, but I'm not good. I'm horrible. And what makes the gospel glorious is his great love, that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for us. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. You got to turn over to this one, page 1242. And you want to talk about pondering God's love for you? You want to look at that for a little while? This is one of the best passages I know that really, when we just take a step back and really look at who we are, really look at what he has done for us, it's amazing. It is awesome, crazy, amazing love that he has for us. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. A couple weeks ago, we looked at 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything that is in the world. For all that is in the world, whoever everyone that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what we were. Verse 3, it says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Even you that were raised in beautiful Christian homes where the gospel was taught, that is the reality of our condition. And yes, God placed you in a place where you were introduced to God's love and his gospel at a very young age. But the Bible is very clear that we were dead, we were enemies. It goes on to say, and here's verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That is crazy awesome love. Goes on to say in verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, we look at that, we ponder the Father's love, and we can just say, thank you, Lord, thank you. And you know what the problem is? Some of you, you got that years ago. For me, it's 35 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And it's so easy that you've walked enough time and you get to this place and you're just like, well, yeah, his love's good. No, you forget how great his love was that it saved a wretch like me and continues to do that. And the same thing is you. Paul said it differently when he's writing to the Corinthians. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. He goes on to say, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it is written, so that it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So we have some crazy awesome love that God has given to us. And what do? We should boast in the Lord. We should make much of him. We really should, because this is all marvelously great news. See, go back to 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. If we have by faith come to know him, we have become the children of God, and so we are. The reason the world does not, the reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know him. We're going to come back to that phrase in a minute, but I want us to look at this phrase right here, point two. We are God's children now. Now we are God's children. This is an amazing thing because of God's work in our life, where he did a work while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God did a saving, marvelous work in your life. He opened your blind eyes. And if you're here today and you're like going, yeah, I know God loves me, And he's my Savior. My prayer is that you would really get what he's done for you. He has died. He has paid that. Christ paid that penalty for you. And when we by faith turn to him, we are, it says in Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us for adoption through his son, Jesus Christ. We have full sonship as his children. In 1 Peter, Peter put it this way, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. This world system, I brought this back out. We're not to love the world or the things of the world. This world system that we hold on to, it is passing away. It is really passing away. Just like that, and really, we have an inheritance that is far better than anything that this world system can offer us. Far better. Far better. We are God's children now. This is not something where I'm trying to work my way into heaven. Let's be clear in the gospel. It is God's work in our lives where we, by faith in him, not of any works, no merit of our own, come to the cross and we surrender all. And when we do, we are placed into his body. We become his children. All the full rights of adoption, everything, we are his. We are children of the King. That is crazy. Good news, love for all of you. And the interesting thing, the worse you were, I think you appreciate a little bit more. Maybe. All I know is I deserve hell. I deserve his judgment. And I'm not getting it because of what Christ has done. And now, believe it or not, he has made me his child. Now, there's a third thing. I want to get back to that one point. As God's children, the world will not really understand us. Let me, again, back to chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Here's what happens. When we come to know him, we really are strangers. We really are pilgrims. We really are aliens. We're sojourners in this world. We should be different than the world. And the reason the world doesn't get us is that it didn't get him. And so don't be surprised. Yeah, there's some things that the world, people in your world, like you can talk sports, you can talk politics. Yeah, there are certain things that you can talk in the world, at your workplace. But for believers, the things that are of most important, when Christ is my treasure, he's my all, I want to talk about him. When I was a new believer, I had partied like crazy for 19 years, and God miraculously saved me. And I had a bunch of people that I ran with, and we did a lot of things together. And when I started to talk to them about Jesus, Just a little bit. Just a little bit. They didn't get it. And the more I, because I cared for them, the more I wanted to talk, the more they were like, get away. No. And I had one of my best friends get in my face, and he said, don't you ever talk to me or my girlfriend about Jesus ever again. And I look at that, and it's like, they don't get it. Now, and you say, well, maybe you weren't saying it the right way. Maybe. But my heart was of love and care for them. But in reality, let's say I said it perfectly. If your passion is for Jesus Christ and to make him known and to glorify him, there's a world system out there that's just not going to get you. That is just not going to totally understand. And so the scripture says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about what fellowship is light with darkness? Answer, none, really. What portion does a believer have with an unbeliever? What connection is there? None, really. If Christ is my all, he's my treasure, and I want to talk to my, be it girlfriend, spouse, you know, those people who you talk with, there's a connection. When there's a connection in Christ, there is a closeness that you can't have with any other people. You just can't. Because there's a whole area of life that the world doesn't get. I always am concerned and I have a passion for this, because when I first came to Jesus, I knew no Christians that were my age. Zero. And you walk, you're lonely. But when you come to know someone who does know the Lord, there is a bond that you have in Christ. You can talk about anything. And there's the common language that we have in Christ. And so he just lays it out. The reason why the world doesn't know us is because it doesn't know him. Now, let's move on to the fourth point. As God's children, what does the future hold? This is an amazing, amazing implication. Look at verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. What are we going to be when we die? What are we going to be when Christ returns? We don't really know. We're not fully sure. Like, we get some hints, but when I get to heaven, will I have hair? You know, that's a good question. How old, you know, I'm 54 now. Will I be in a 54-year-old body? Hope not. You know, it's like, okay, tune that puppy up. I mean, what's it going to be like? There are certain things that we don't know, that we really don't have a clue about. But then there are other things that we do know. We do get glimpses of what is ahead of us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. We will be like his glorious body. So that body you got right now, it's going to be better. It's going to be glorious. What could Christ do in his body after the resurrection? He could appear and disappear. No more traffic jams. I mean, the disciples were in praying in the room, and next thing you know, boom, he appeared in the middle of the room. That'll be sweet. You impatient people, no more of this. No more. It's going to be it's going to happen quick. So we're going to have that. That's going to be a good thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, it says, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. We are sown perishable, we are raised imperishable. We are sown in dishonor, we are raised in glory. We are sown in weakness, we are raised in power. We are sown a natural body, we are raised a spiritual body. And so I think the best part of this is you're not going to sin anymore. There's going to be no more fights between husband and wife. We're not going to be married or given in marriage and they just say, oh, that's good, that's the cause of it. No, it's not. But we're going to have a glorified spiritual mind, and all those things that get you twisted right now are going to be gone. I don't know about you, but that is great news. Let me give you another one. Use this one at funerals all the time. There's coming a day, it says, Revelation 21:4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things has passed away. Think about that. No more bodies that have aches and pains. No more arthritis. No more disease. No more depression. No more sadness. No more loneliness. No, none of that stuff. No more mourning, crying, pain. Any more of the former things has passed away. That's good news. No more anxiety. No more fill in the blank. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no mind can imagine what God's prepared for those that love him. That is good news. We hold on to this world like, oh, give me all the world. Give me everything this world has to offer. Really, the best is yet to come. Trying to convince you of that is a hard sell. I get that. But the scripture's clear. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Paul, one of my favorite passages, Paul says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in this flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ. For that is, what does it say at the bottom line? Altogether, far better. One more time. Far better. Your life, as great as it is right now, is going to be far better. Far better. Anyone could go for a little bit of far better? So, I mean, we look at that, it's like, and we're one heartbeat away. One heartbeat away. Now, I get it. We don't like when people die. There is great sadness there. I mean, and the Bible speaks of that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, there is sadness. There is grieving, but there is hope-filled grieving, because Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me will never die. And so, yes, when someone we love, I can't even imagine what some of our people have gone through. Just can't. The sadness is there. And the only hope that keeps us to have our sanity is to keep your eyes on what is right around the corner. All those songs we sang, all the beautiful job today, Ed. All those songs we sang about the glories of heaven, that's real. And it is going to be better by far. Going to be better by far. We think, man, in this world we think, well, if I just had this, then I would be happy. Get it? It won't make you happy. So what a great hope we have. We don't have to fear death. Is there a sting in death? Absolutely. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ who gives us the victory. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise took of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You don't have to be a slave anymore. I think we sang that too. We're no longer slaves. What joy that is. What incredible, amazing love. And so, really, we can say the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So to live is Christ. Make your passion to live for Jesus Christ, and to die will be gain. If your passion is anything else in that, then dying is going to be loss. Oh, I'm dying. This is terrible. Really? I mean, there's the part where it's going to be a bummer for the family, but you're going to bonus land, man. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Let's go back to the text. We are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet appeared. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we have seen so far, seen the Father's love. We are God's children now. We are God's children, and the world won't really get us. As God's children, what does the future hold? Number five, the last thing is, as God's children, there will be a family resemblance. Look at this. Remember, God is 100% holy. He hates sin. Look at verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We as God's children now positionally are pure, but we should want to so desire to be pure like he is. And that's what we are called to be as God's children. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be holy. Now, I need to stop here. And brothers and sisters, I get it. When you think, oh, he's talking about holiness, you're going to start giving me rules. You're going to start giving me rules, and you're going to start giving me standards, and you're going to start giving me like things to do, and we're not going to be legalists here. But I really do think that if you see what God's done for you, if you see his love, if you really take a look at this, you're not going to love what this world loves. And there's a part where we don't want to be like this world. Jerry Bridges, I struggled with this whole concept of holiness early on in my Christian life, because I was so unholy. It's like, how do you do this? And I read Jerry Bridges' book, The Pursuit of Holiness. It's a great book, but I got a quote from Jerry Bridges. Here's what he says. He says, we become so accustomed to our sin that we sometimes lapse into a state of peaceful coexistence with them, but God never ceases to hate them. The one who has shown you amazing love hates our sin. Hates it. And we love him, and so we have to be careful that we don't, like, we get into this coexistence where it's like, if this is the world system or some kind of sin, we just get comfortable with it. We snuggle up to it. I mean, you know, I could nap on it almost. It's so comfortable. And if I could find a way to help motivate us, I would. I wish I could. Here's the best I can do. I want to give you an illustration. People are mean, right? We all agree that people are mean. Here's an actual picture that I took of it's bad. There's a young lady in that porta potty, okay? And this is a video. I just took a snapshot of it. They're her friends. You ever have friends like that? Her friends tip that thing over. She comes out of that puppy. It's just nasty. I was going to show you that picture, but then you'd be like, growing up, we got a new sanctuary, don't want to do that. But if that was you, if that was you and that thing tipped over and you had junk all over you, you had that stuff all over you, what would you do? I would find the nearest lake. I would strip off. I would do anything I could to get clean, because that stuff is vile. It is vile. It is horrible. Can I just tell you, brothers and sisters, that's what this world is. The world system, our sin that we snuggle up to, it's like junk at the bottom of that porta potty. And until you see that, you're going to want to snuggle with it. And so what I just look at that and say, what a reminder for myself. Well, here's what the Bible says we're to do. Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's a part where it's like, I gotta keep putting it off. Gotta keep putting it off. And I have to see, I can't get comfortable with my sin. I gotta keep putting it off. One more quote from Jerry Bridges. He says, we need to cultivate in our hearts the same hatred of sin God has. Hatred of sin is sin, not just as something disquieting or defeating to ourselves, but as displeasing to God, lies at the root of all true holiness. You see, when you ponder the love of God and what he's done for us, why would you want to grieve him with sin? And so may God work in our hearts that we would want to have holiness. Is there going to be struggle? Yes. Will he forgive us? Yes. But there's a real part that I know. There's probably a couple dozen of you out here that are just so comfortable with the world. And you don't feel super close to God. Well, that's part of it. In my life, the more I have done what this has said, is just try to hate the sin that God hates and take it off. There's an amazing closeness that you feel with God. And you know what? We need each other to help each other in that. We do. So, as we end, I want us just to really, we're going to sing another song that talks about holiness. And it's a little older one, but it goes like this. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. And as we sing this, I do pray that it would be a prayer that we would really want to be holy. And for some of you, it's like you need to put the stake in the ground that thing that you know is taking you away from holiness, we need to just lay it before the Lord and flee from it.
So much for what you've shown through this message. Show us that you do not want us to snuggle up to our sin. And I pray that the words of this song is words from our heart. That holiness is not only something that you want, but holiness is what I want. And I want to be like you. I want to be at yes, okay. So we commit ourselves to you. I lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you want us to be holy. We have taken your righteousness for our salvation. Now we too want to be righteous. I pray that we would, with the help of your Spirit, find ways to be as righteous as you are righteous. This is what we long for. Give us what we need to do that. Sing. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. So take my heart. Some of us to be broken down. Not broken down in our spirit, but broken down in our will. And loosen our grip of what we have in the world system. So for us, brokenness is what we long for. And brokenness is what we need to be more and more like you. So we pray for that. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me. So God, please take my life.
I don't know what's going on in your life, but you and God do. But there's always something that we can say, you know what? I want to surrender this to the Lord and remove it. And so we're going to pray, and I want you to take that one thing that you're thinking about right now that's going to help you. Might be an attitude about politics. It might be what you're holding on to too much in this world. I don't know. But let's go and let's give that to the Lord right now. Father, you have our lives. And right now, we take whatever it is that is really hurting our holiness with you. Something that we're holding on in this world that is not holy, that is not righteous. It is of this world, and we're loving it too much. Might be a person, might be an attitude, it might be a hope, it might be something that is not of you, and we give it to you. We surrender it to you. Father, we know that your word is true, and we know to live is Christ, and to die will be gain. But while you have us here, may that be our passion to live for you, not for what this world has. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this chance to come into your presence. We give you everything afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you go, that one thing, tell someone. Because you can make that verbal commitment, but if you're not saying, hey, wife, this is the thing that I'm surrendering, it's going nowhere. Amen.